Good evening, Ronnie.
Good evening, sir.
It's a pleasure to have all of you here, seeing your lovely faces on the Zoom call. I am coming from two angles this evening. I'm coming from a sight angle, and then I've got my face bringing the voice, and hopefully the audio is a lot better this week. Ronnie, can you confirm?
Absolutely magnificent.
I'm telling you, we are all about improving here on For the Health of It in association with the Diabetes Association Barbados and Glucerna, your good decision of the day. My name is Jason Bell, and as soon as I get my audio there sorted, start embarrassing myself with the people email, I will introduce the president of the Diabetes Association Barbados, Miss Trudy Griffith. Good evening, Trudy.
Good evening, Jason. How are you doing?
I am grateful. As soon as I get this email thing sorted and all these funny sound effects from my phone and computer, I will be happy to introduce your guests for the evening. I see we have a familiar face in the corner there.
Yes, we do.
All right.
We have Carrie Ann with us.
Hello. Hello again to the best nutritionist and dietitian for the purposes of this call, of course.
Hello. Good night.
How are you keeping?
I'm good. How are you?
I am grateful. I'm grateful. And we also have in the bottom corner, from my perspective, a man who knows all about victory and gardening. Brother Adrian, how you doing, sir?
I'm well, Jason. Hey, buddy.
I'm grateful. So, Trudy, please introduce us for the health of it this evening. And this is going to be a great conversation.
It is indeed going to be a great conversation. We started this conversation 2 weeks ago. We've been focusing on diabetes and nutrition. So we have gone through many of the basics that are critical to persons ensuring that they have good diabetes control. But remember that this call is not just for persons who are living with diabetes. We also address every single person. So whether you're living in Barbados or you're outside of Barbados and you have tuned into the program, welcome. We have information that we want to share with you.
And of course, we want to invite all of you to call in or WhatsApp us using area code 246 if you're calling from outside of Barbados. 434-1790 if you want to hear your voice. We want to hear your feedback and your questions. And also WhatsApp 266-IVOB, 266-4862. And of course, remember everyone that there's a degree of humor infused in the show, so we invite you to fully participate. And we're talking some more about nutrition. And last week we brought up a question about home gardens, and I see, Trudy, you as ever have done your due diligence and prepared really well, and you brought kind of an expert to this program.
Yes, we have.
No. Expert? Well.
Well, I'm just ready to title it pregnant. I'm ready to title. Let's go.
So over the past couple of weeks, what we've been looking at are the foods that, and the beverages that we have been consuming. And we have looked at the basics. We've looked at what is the definition of diet? What is the definition of nutrition? We've talked about calories. We've talked about carbohydrates and proteins. We've talked about so many things. And they've all converged tonight because we're going to conclude this series up to this point, and then we're going to take a twist on it next week. So we've talked about the healthy plate. And when we talked about the healthy plate, what did we talk about? We talked about dividing the plate into two sections. So you have two halves. And we said, for one of those halves, you're going to divide it again in two. So then you end up with two quarters. And one quarter, you were going to have carbohydrates. The other quarter, you would have protein, whether it is animal-based protein or plant-based protein. And then we talked about the remaining half of the plate being vegetables. And not things like potato salad and coleslaw. We were talking about provisions that you pulled out of the ground, right?
So chips are not vegetables then?
Who was that? Who said that? Adrian. I'm really going to have
to. Adrian, it's not me this time. I just want to pull up.
I'm going to have to pull out a ruler and start knocking some knuckles. So therefore, we did make some reference last week to backyard gardening, and we have invited Mr. Adrian Reed to join us this evening so that he could share with us what he's been doing with regards to backyard gardening. So Adrian, welcome so much to For the Health of It, and take it away.
Well, thanks for having me. So I guess a little bit about what we call Victory Gardens, what you call backyard gardening, and I guess I'll explain a little history of why that name came to be. So around World War I and World War II, during those times, the government was encouraging households in U.S. especially, and somewhere in U.K., to grow food at home. And this is on their front yard, their backyard, their roofs, their windowsills, to use pretty much every available space they had to grow food, of course, because food was scarce during the war. And what was interesting at that time is that they were able to produce, as a continent, 40% of their food from those small households. I'm not talking about acres. These are people's homes, right? And they produce 40% of their food intake just from every man Jack growing sand at home. And I was like, this is genius. And it's so simple. And if a continent so large can use that kind of strategy, we, in our context, could do the same. And though we're not fighting a world war, we do have some other wars we are fighting that are equally, in some regards, as dangerous, so to speak. So we have, you know, war against our food import bill. We have war against non-communicable diseases. We have war against, really fragile supply chain. We have war, you know, against bad nutrition. So all those we have wars against, and the backyard is still, in my opinion, the most formidable way of fighting those things to bring our nation to kind of better health. So that's a little on the backdrop of that. But Victory Gardens, we are a faith-based urban farming food security company. And our aim is really to help households and communities with the knowledge and the skills and products and services to really become more food secure at home, more sustainable, economically sustainable, and to be healthier by growing their food at home. That's our mission. That's our mandate. Let's really see, hopefully, every Barbadian house growing something. They don't got to be a big thing, but something. You know what I mean? So currently, we just launched a challenge called the Grow Barbados Challenge in partnership with NCC and Farm Finder. And it's an 8-week challenge where we are encouraging newbies and some oldies too, in terms of experience, to grow at least 2 crops at home during this 8-week period. They can choose from okra, cucumber, lettuce, or Chinese cabbage. And we are in partnership with our sponsors, are providing free seedlings as well as the tires that you can go and collect at specific spots with our sponsors to start growing your crops. And the person who grows the longest crop will win some prizes from our generous sponsors. Namely, it's Carter's, Nature Care, Massey, Landmark Nurseries, Muddy Boots, and Seedburst. Those are our generous sponsors, and they have made available some vouchers that can be redeemed at their stores at the end of this competition to the winning persons in every category of the crops. We're also doing one for young people as well. So the youngest person who successfully grows their crop will also get a prize, because we just want to make sure that the next generation is involved. I'm not quite sure about yourself. So like for me, when I was growing up, I didn't have much farming or planting experience. You know, my great grandmother had some of that, and I just wasn't involved in that at all. So we kind of missed generation. So hopefully I'm having my kids now with me, helping take care of chickens and growing stuff at home. So hopefully we bring that link again with generations in terms of food security and growing stuff. So I'll kind of stop there a little bit. And I guess for questions or context, feel free to ask. But that's kind of what we're doing at this point in time. Let me just say that the company starts on August 8th and it goes to September the 30th. And prize giving will be in October or 10th around there. And so during this challenge, you have to take a picture of your crop every 2 weeks to upload and show us the progress to make sure that you're not cheating, you're not buying something from supermarket and saying, oh, look what I grew, you know. So you got to stay on the stock every 2 weeks growing, and then the last photo you upload, you get some likes for that, and you have your measurement, you know, you measure it on your ruler, and those who have the longest ones and the most likes of your last photo will be the winners of our challenge. We're even giving you some tidbits, some free videos of information during the challenge on how to look for water, you know, how to make sure you're not watering too much, or how to deal with pests. So we have our experts giving you some feedback during the course of the challenge to kind of keep you on track, because we know for the most part, like in Dominica, I have my wife, my wife's mother from Dominica. I have family there. So growing up in Dominica, you know, you're kind of inundated in nature and stuff. In Barbados, it's not that way.
Big garden.
Say again?
It's a big garden, basically.
Yeah, Dominica. the whole island is a garden, right? To speak. So from young, you're kind of inundated with that. In Barbados, not so much. So we know that we have to be a little more heavier on the education side, the support side of information. So we try to make that available to you via those small little clips. And then also that we have a platform on Facebook, our Facebook page called Victory Gardens University, where you can come on and we have half an hour of training on different growing techniques, how to grow certain crops, how to look for pests, how to maintain your garden, even how to create products from your garden, because some of you might be more leaning not towards the growing part, but just really enjoy the idea of making products, you know, foods or fabrics or fibers from your garden, and not to sell and make some products, you know, as a means of bringing some money into the household. COVID this time would have been, from 2018, we've had a rough time, and COVID just kind of exacerbated our fragile economic environment. So, you know, anything you can do to use to increase the amount of revenue coming to your household, I think is a plus. So we want to make sure that this is not just a means of growing food and being healthy, but also a means where you can probably grow some stuff and bring some extra income into your home as well too. So all those are things wrapped up in the whole ideology of Victory Gardens.
Well, Adrian, it certainly seems as though we have approached you at the right time. Because over the last 2 weeks, we have really been trying to get some good information to our listeners in terms of their diet and nutrition.
Sure.
And if you want to encourage persons to eat healthy, why not start at home? I know a lot of persons seem to have this perception that if you want to eat healthy, it's going to be expensive.
Expensive, yes. And
certainly what you are suggesting, it seems as though we are going not only going to be saving money, but we're actually going to be better off for it. The environment, our pockets, our health, everything is going to improve. So Carrie-Anne, can you give your thoughts about what Adrian had just shared? Because we really have been encouraging persons to consider their diet, what they're eating. So what do you think about what Adrian had just shared?
This is very exciting news and very good information. I believe it's very good information. And this will help us to meet our adequate intake of vegetables and fruits. And it's good to plant and use local. So if you can plant some local vegetables and fruits, use your own. You save money, and I believe you appreciate it better if you
indeed
if you take part in producing your own fruits and vegetables. So this is a very good initiative, and it's making me even thinking about getting a green thumb.
Listen, Carrie, are you on the same wavelength as me, girl? Because I was there saying, I'm thinking about what I could do with the little space I have. And I'm not in the valley tonight. I'm here at work, just upstairs from Ronnie. I'm thinking about the green space outside that's turned into bush and how it can convert. But you're starting baby steps, because I get a little intimidated with the amount of work that it takes to turn a bit of bush into a garden bed, and then you gotta watch the pests and this and that in turn. But if you could start as simple as some tires and using this challenge, what we could possibly learn, sign me up.
So therefore, Adrian just shared with us that they're starting on the 8th of August, and it's going to be running until September 30th. Today is July 28th, so you still have time.
We close registration on the 1st of August.
Time to contact Adrian and let him know you're interested. I hope everybody heard a key word that Adrian mentioned there, which was what? Free. It is free. You're getting these items free, and therefore it's going to be very beneficial to you, because if you successfully grow these crops, you are saving some serious money.
Indeed.
And you are actually going to be up for prizes if you have successfully gone through the 6 weeks and you've won your category. I don't see this as anything else but a win-win.
You can't get any better than that.
Can't get any better than that. I mean, I am so flabbergasted.
You're listening to For the Health of It with some wonderful free offers being brought by the wonderful guest on this program, Adrian Reed of Victory Gardens. And of course, the last voice you heard was that of President of the Diabetes Association of Barbados. I'm Jason Bell. And also on the call this evening is our resident dietitian and the best nutritionist in Barbados for the purposes.
Oh, wow. High praise.
Yeah, of course. Listeners, feel free to give us your feedback to what you've heard so far. Call 434-1790 or WhatsApp us 266-4862. Trudy, this will definitely help us with our healthy plate model. Having some greens that we've actually grown will add a level of pride, and you know exactly what you put into it. Sometimes when you're growing or you're buying vegetables, you're concerned about the level of, shall I say, contaminants in the fruit or vegetable that you're buying. But if you're growing it yourself and you've seen it grow, and you know exactly what you've put into it, so therefore there's a level of assurance and security there. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that, I was never a big tomato lover personally. But I tried my hand at growing some. No, let me backtrack and say, I am by no means an expert in growing.
You're not an expert?
No. So here's the thing. And that's the beauty of it. So, so in 2018, when we first started operating, this is where we had the idea to start Victory Gardens. We started training people on how to grow food at home. And I got next to me people who were experts. So, gentleman by the name of Arendell Evelyn, a lady by the name of Nicole Murray, and another lady by the name of Kayleen Griffith. So we brought them on as our trainers, and I was in the class learning as a student in the project I helped create it.
Wow.
Yeah. So my skill is kind of seeing it and bringing it together. And going through the process I've learned. So I was never a green thumb. I was never big into growing before 2018. My passion for that really came from a workshop that our ministry was doing, where we were looking at the economy kind of from a biblical perspective. And one thing that jumped out is that we need to really move from a place of being consumers to producers. And that's what really sparked the whole idea concerning the gardens. And so me being a non-green thumb, had to learn like everybody else. And so I'm still learning. And, I tried my hand, some things died and some things lived. So I think that I'm doing this to show that anybody can do this. You don't have to be a agri expert with, 18 years of, no. Nudies, anybody who want to try the hand, you can do this. If I can do this, you can do this. But I kind of diverged a little bit. So I was saying I grew some tomatoes for the first time. And I actually got them nice red, so they came out. And I actually ate my first tomato from the vine, and it tasted good and different from how it tastes from the supermarket.
Right. It was
like, wow, this actually tastes nice. I actually ate it like a fruit. Like, I never thought I would do that before. I picked it and ate it off the vine, and it was enjoyable. And to say that when you grow your own food, it just has, for me, a different flavor, a different taste to it. It's fresher, it's nicer. And then the other thing, too, is when you're growing your own herbs and vegetables, like when you go to the market and you buy a bag of herbs, you normally don't use all the herbs at the same time. You put it in the fridge and it gets soft and sappy and you end up throwing it away. You know what I mean? But when you have your own herb garden, you just go and clip a few leaves off and put it in your pot and you don't waste anything. So even in that little act, you save money. So I like Trudy said, I really can't think of any cons with this. It's really just win-win-wins all the way around. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to come and share this idea with you in line with what you're pushing in terms of that healthy plate, because it really dovetail beautifully with you trying to make sure Barbados eat healthy and have right proportions. And I must be honest, I got to kind of get a little better on my proportions. You know, but I know you helped me, and I'll help you.
Right. So we have some other areas that we want to look at this evening. So let's make a little bit of a transition here. When you are consuming foods from your garden, and I'm encouraging everyone who's listening to reach out to us, because we're going to allow Adrian to share his contact information before we close our episode this evening. It does not have a label on it. Right? But when you go in the supermarket, when you go up and down the shelves, you're going to see a whole set of food products out there, and you're going to have to look at the label and examine it to see, is this good for me? And over the last 3 weeks, Carrie-Anne and I have been working feverishly to get a tool prepared for you to help you learn how to understand food labels and nutrition labels. So if you are tech savvy, and if you are on Instagram or Facebook, or you know the website of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, you can go there now, and we have that tool ready that you can complete it, and you can learn some information about how to interpret nutrition labels. I know Jason probably does not want me to mention this, but it also has a scoring system set up. And well, Jason attempted the quiz this afternoon, and out of a maximum of 20 points. Listen carefully, Barbados, and whoever else is out there. 20 points! And Jason only got 7.
We can build on this.
Oh, wow.
We can build on this.
We have learning opportunity.
There you go.
We have a learning opportunity.
Learning opportunity. A lot of learning opportunity.
You got to frame it. You got to frame it correctly. Correct.
It's important to frame, buddy.
So it just goes to show that reading labels is not the easiest thing in the world to do.
It really isn't.
Right? Because sometimes you think you know something, and in truth and in fact, when you're challenged to recall the information or even to apply it, you recognize, wait, what is going on here? So Jason, you did it. So tell me, what question jumped out at you in terms that it really stumped you?
The one on serving size was a big struggle. The one on what is the size of a serving, obviously I got wrong. And the one on percentage daily value.
Daily value.
That was like, I swung a miss for sure. It was a big challenge for sure. And what I found about the quiz is that there are multiple correct answers, you know.
Yes.
In multiple choices.
Jason, don't give me all the answers.
Okay. Anyway, I want you to take the test at diabetes.bb, www.diabetes.bb, or you can check out their Instagram page at Diabetes Barbados. And try the test for yourself and let me know what you think.
Yes. So, Carrie-Anne, I know that when we talked about this and we talked about trying to discuss this on air without having persons in front of us, it was like, no, it's going to be a little bit difficult to accomplish, which is why we utilize this platform to get the information out there. But explain to all of the listeners out there, what is a nutrition label? What exactly is it that we're talking about?
So the nutrition label is a information point where you could, on different food items, it gives you loads of information on what you're eating and how the vitamins and minerals that is contained in that food. So it gives you information on what the particular package contains and the nutrients it also contains. So it gives you that kind of information.
So when you look at your food products, you can either look at the front of it or the back of it. It's usually at the back, or perhaps depending on the packaging, it might be at the side of the package. So therefore, it is important for you to look at that information, because if you just look at the front and you get distracted by the color and the pictures on the front and stuff like that, that does not really give you a lot of the information about the product. You actually need to go and look and see what is in this, how much is in it. And then you have to make a determination, is this the right food for me? Otherwise, you can end up in some serious problems. You could be eating something that you think is ever so healthy, but when you look at it, it's like someone will challenge you and say, it isn't.
Rudy?
Yes, it is Jason.
It's a bit of a, I don't know if it's a concern. Look, I'm an advertiser. I'm a sales guy, right? So it's always in my best interest to represent brands well and to help them to frame their image, even if it's on radio. And what I've observed is that serving suggestions can be fairly misleading in terms of if you're trying to stick to a serving size. Like different cereals would have a huge bowl with the milk, you know, cascading down into the bowl, and you have all the fancy fruits and things in the bowl. And then when you open it, you just see this brown bag of, well, a bag of brown stuff. You wonder, like, what's in there? And then the actual size of the bowl, like, if you try to replicate what that is, sometimes that's 3, 4, 5 servings. And, you know, you're definitely overfeeding yourself if you follow what the serving suggestion is. But the thing is that these marketers, of which I am a student, you know, these guys really do it to push their product. They don't really do it with your particular nutritional needs in mind. Let's put it that way.
So therefore, that is definitely a challenge because, and we're going to follow up on this a little bit more next week, but just to give some information, you really do have to look at the serving size. A lot of times products are packaged in larger sizes because when you package them in larger sizes, it actually brings down the cost for you as the consumer. Sure. Because you have to factor in production and packaging and so on. But that does not necessarily mean that because something comes in one package that you have to sit down and eat all of it one time.
True that.
But we fall into that trap ever so often. And then we wonder, why do we have a problem with obesity? Why do we have a problem with non-communicable diseases in Barbados and by extension the region and the rest of the world? It is because we're consuming too much. And the real challenge is the information is provided. They actually tell you how much is the recommended serving size. It's almost like your doctor or your pharmacist will tell you, take one tablet. And you say, well, if one tablet, good, two tablets are better.
They're better.
Right? I will get cured twice as fast. But it doesn't quite work out that way. And when it comes to your caloric intake, if you consume more than your body needs, your body is going to store it. And if you don't burn it off, it will continue to store it. And then we will have challenges.
Yeah.
You're listening to For the Health of It in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. I'm Glucerna, your good decision of the day. I'm Jason Bell. And the last voice you heard was president of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, Trudy Griffith. Also on this call is Carrie Ann Bess, dietitian and certified unofficial gardener genius. How about that? I'm trying out all brands of titles with you this evening.
I realize, right?
One will stick. The challenge with that that occurred to me when we were thinking about food labels are there food labels for vegetables? I realize that there aren't, you know, you don't find official food labels on vegetables. I find that they're mostly for what we call processed foods.
Processed foods, yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Carrie Ann or Trudy? Or even Adrian, you want to try your hand at that with your experience with growing vegetables?
Well, I mean, I don't have any experience in terms of the food label side of it, but I will just go to say that I think by virtue of you growing your own food at home, you kind of know exactly what you're getting, you know, what's in it, you know, what's not in it. You would have, you know, it's not laced with pesticides, or and if you do use stuff, you can use stuff organically to make sure you're not harming yourself. So you have control of your own food. You know what I mean? Labels are made by people who have control of your food, and they let you know what they put in it. If you're growing your own food, you're the one in control of that. You know what I mean? So there's no need for a label if you're kind of doing your own thing, because you know what's in it.
I think they have
compost, there, compost and water.
We have two questions, which may be related. The first one is, how do I enter the growing competition? And the second one is, how does diabetes affect your sex life? Is it true there are some meds you can use to boost your sexual drive? I'm diabetic too. I take one metformin 500 daily because I control it daily. So how do you enter the growing competition, and does diabetes affect your sex life? And we're mature people. We talk about sex. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. So let me hear the panel.
Well, I'll take the first one.
How did you get those two questions and say that they seem related? I mean,
like... And it says, thanks, Ronnie.
And he showed it up to the camera, so it's true.
I will let Adrian take the first question, and I will take the second question.
Sounds like a plan to me. I could work with that plan. So you make your way to... Victory Gardens Caribbean on Facebook. That's our Facebook page, Victory Gardens Caribbean. And pinned to the top of our page is a flyer with a registration link. You go there, you fill out your link, you register on the form, you read through the rules, and that's it. As simple as that. Go to our Facebook page, go to the first post on our page, you go to the link, you register from the admission, your email address, which you want to grow, et cetera, on the form. You'll get an email from us stating that your registration has come in. And then you'll be getting some more communication this week that you know what's the next steps. But it's simple as that.
Before you answer truly the second part, may I encourage listeners to visit vob929.com/for the health of it, and you'll see that there's a catalog of past episodes. Trudy would have remembered quite fondly that we had a couple of episodes on male and female sexual health and diabetes. And I see you nodding your head vigorously there. But I just wanted to let the listeners know that there's additional resources that may not be covered in what Trudy says next that is available on the podcast page, vob929.com/for the health of it.
Right. So I will actually like to start out my response by saying that I'm very glad to hear that question. I know Jason is very surprised to hear me say that, but I'm actually very glad to hear that question coming from a listener. And let me explain why.
Okay.
Now, usually when someone thinks about diabetes, they think that, oh, I'm going to lose a limb or I'm going to die. And that has been the public perception, the prevailing public perception for far too long. So I'm actually glad that someone is now linking it to sex and saying, okay, fine, I'm going to live, but perhaps I will not be able to percolate. So let us see if we can get you percolating.
Watch your conduct, Trudy.
Percolate.
I know this is G-rated radio, which is why I'm using those terminologies. Percolated, yes.
Technically, it's percolated. Technically, it's past an international watershed, but Barbados is still more conservative on the surface than other places. So go ahead.
Right. This is G-rated because I know that there are young persons who are listening to this program, and therefore I don't want any parents to come challenging me and saying, what did you start?
But hold on, before you start there, I actually looked up, because it's a Bajan word. It's like, you know, Bajans say vex. I lived in England for 14 years and never heard the word vex yet. But Barbados is vex, vex. So I understand vex is a word. Percolate says filter gradually through a porous surface or substance of a liquid or gas. The verb is of coffee, for example, be prepared in a percolator. So it seems as though we just take whatever word we feel like to mean whatever we want it to feel like, when it really means something totally different. I mean, he put some coffee on to percolate. the water percolating through the soil may leach out minerals. I mean, go ahead. You said percolate, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I said percolate.
I see no coffee, and I see no water percolating through the soil, which may leach out minerals. But then again, Adrian may speak to that because he's gardening. Just saying.
So therefore, there are a number of problems that can occur if your blood sugars are not under control.
That's it.
And sexual issues can be part of that. And therefore, if you are having problems, because it really doesn't sound as though you're having problems, but if you are having problems, then it's really time for you to visit your doctor or your clinic and get your blood sugar levels measured, so that we know that your diabetes is under control. If it is, wonderful. If it isn't, then that's time for us to start doing something different, so that we can get your blood sugars under control, because we want to reduce the risk of you having complications that not only affect your sex life, but affect other parts of your life as well. I will limit my comments, right, Jason? It is G-rated radio.
Fine. I was going to ask about the metformin, but we can encourage the listeners again, UOB929.com/for the health of it.
Yes. So that is it on that. Andrew, you've never heard that?
I have heard a long time. It's made smile.
Okay.
Well, at least you know what it really means. Although I'm sure that if youngsters used it at school to explain the brewing of coffee, the teacher may not see it in the same way.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's what you call a generation gap right there.
In there, indeed.
So I know we have less than 10 minutes to go for our program.
Yes. Eight minutes.
So we're going to need to wrap up. And I really want to share with our listeners that when we are talking about diet and nutrition, and while we have been focusing to some degree on diabetes and your carbohydrates and your calories, et cetera, those are not the only things that you need to be concerned with if you are living with diabetes. You also need to be concerned about your blood pressure and about your cholesterol. So therefore, while there are foods that will affect your blood sugar, there are also foods that affect your blood pressure, and there are foods that affect your cholesterol. So when you're looking at your nutrition label, you really want to make sure that you're looking at all those other ingredients in your foods that can have an impact on those parameters as well. So Carrie-Anne, can you share a little bit more detail with our listeners about that?
Okay, yes. So you have mentioned blood pressure and cholesterol. So when we talk about blood pressure, we talk a lot about salt or sodium. So that's something that you have to be mindful of in your diet. We do need sodium. Don't get me wrong, we still need sodium in your diet for normal muscle and nerve function. But the problem occurs when you have too much sodium or salt. So when you do have too much sodium or salt, you tend to retain excess water, and it also causes your organs in your body to work harder. And that could cause you to have an increased risk of high blood pressure, which can harm your heart and kidneys. So you need to control the amount of sodium or salt that you use. We use the word interchangeably, but let's remember that salt contains sodium. So the recommended amount of sodium per day is around 2,300 milligrams or less. Ideally, if you have a condition such as kidney disease or high blood pressure, it even goes lower to about 1,500 milligrams.
What does 1,500 milligrams look like, Carrie-Anne?
So yeah, I was gonna ask 1,500 milligrams, actually an eighth teaspoon of salt.
But for a whole day?
An eighth teaspoon?
One eighth. 2,300 is one teaspoon of table salt. We don't need much salt, you know. We don't need much sodium, you know. It is a micronutrient.
So we question, if I put salt on my green mango, or make an apple, or my mango, I already passed my quality day.
You use a teaspoon of salt on your one apple?
You said an eighth, right? You said an eighth.
That's for if you're doing sodium restriction, 1500 right, okay. milligrams of sodium.
Okay. So in general, make me level.
So in general, we usually use too much sodium in our
diet. It's clear.
Because remember, sodium is found naturally in foods.
Yeah.
Then it's added during the processing of foods. Yeah. And then when you cut your food, you add more sodium, and then you're at table, you sprinkle some more salt on your food. So that's four sources of sodium. So it's good to read the nutrition fact label to make sure that you're not getting foods that are too high in sodium. So what I tell my clients to do is look for the sodium or NA symbol, and you want it to be low sodium. By definition, would be 140 milligrams or less per serving. So you go back to that serving question. 140 milligrams or less per serving considered by definition as low sodium. Pardon me? I didn't hear that.
I said I'll make a note of that because it just horrified me to think how much salt we actually do intake. As you said, you just outlined Thank you, Ron. Just outline how much salt we use, man. It's actually quite shocking.
Right. We don't need that much salt in our diet or that much sodium in our diet. So you have to be careful what you do, what you eat. And also, it goes back to using fresh fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So the green mango without the salt.
Right. And have other ways to flavor your food, herbs and spices. You could grow some parsley and some chilies and thyme. There you go. And you could flavor your food instead of using all the added salt or sodium. So that goes back to our gardening, our fruits, our vegetables, our herbs, our spices.
Wonderful. We've got literally 2 minutes left, Trudy. I want you to have the final word, and then I'm sure you will allow me the pleasure of doing the usual contact information and the close.
So I will let Adrian close out in terms of just remind listeners how they can get in contact with you so that they can enter the backyard gardening competition. And then I'll speak after Adrian, and then Jason, it's all over to you.
Sure, no problem. So once again, you can go to our Facebook page, which is Victory Gardens Caribbean on Facebook, and you register there directly on the page. There's a link that's sent into a form. You fill out the form and you register that way. If you need to get more clarity, you can always send a message through the page to ask me a question. It's linked to my phone directly. So you can feel free to use the messenger function on our Facebook page, and that goes to my WhatsApp, and I can answer your questions there if you have any. So looking forward to seeing you all register and growing your crops. It's an 8-week challenge starting on the... Say again?
3 days left to register.
Well, actually, we have 3 days left because the 1st of August is the last day of registration. And we start the competition on the 8th of August to the 30th. And you have 8 weeks to grow two crops. And who gets the longest crop will win some prints from our sponsors.
All right. And Trudy?
Yeah, so I will say that it's really been an enjoyable evening. Albeit some persons may be a little bit embarrassed about their scores.
I'm fine.
But we know that we're utilizing this as a learning tool.
Absolutely.
So please, as I said, go and look on the association's platforms, find the quiz, click on the link, and you will get to learn how to interpret a nutrition label. I know we've been talking about foods over the past 3 weeks and so on, and next week we're going to turn our attention to our beverages. So look out for that. Jason, thank you so much. Ronnie, thank you. Adrian, thank you. Carrie-Anne, thank you. And we will see you again next week. Jason, how do they get in contact with us?
Give them a call at the Diabetes Association of Barbados at 423-427-9338. Call or WhatsApp them at 230-2975 or send an email to dab40a@gmail.com. That's Delta Alpha Bravo 40alpha@gmail.com. You can pay them a visit at Jessamine Court, corner of Jessamine Avenue, Beckles Road, Barbados. And we also want to thank Glucerna, your good decision of the day. As we continue to live, and love for the health of it.